song service.
Amen. That's really appreciate that.
Yes.
Thank you for him, for his special that he sung. Really, you know, sometimes a minister come to the platform and he believes he's, you know, coming in what the Lord has given him, but then sometimes he needs a little help, and sometimes the song service does that for you.
That's
so
right.
We just want to thank the Lord that the musicians are going to go to their seats. Good to be with you in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Just appreciate the presence of the Lord. Let me go ahead and open our Bibles as we get to the important part of the service.
Amen.
Every portion of the service is important, but we understand that the ministry of the Word is the most important part.
Right.
So I want to open our Bibles to Mark chapter 16. We'll begin reading at verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. This is Jesus after the resurrection speaking to his disciples. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Do you believe?
Amen.
Have you been baptized?
Amen.
Okay. If you haven't, you should think about it. "So these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Amen. I want to also read from Acts chapter 1. This is just a little bit longer reading, but she'll have it here on the screen. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John surely baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the season, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And I want to read one more passage of scriptures in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. This comes right after Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burnt without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." We just want to pray for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to this portion of the service, Lord, we give it all to you. We place it within your hands and ask God that you would come down and just anoint me and your people, Lord, as a group together. Lord, that you would act out your promised word for this day. Lord, that you would use the gift that you put in me and the gift of hearing that you put in your people, Lord, and that you would orchestrate what you want said and done this morning. As always, Lord, we just commit it to you and ask God that you would touch every heart, Lord, something that would have eternal value. And we thank you, Lord, and ask you this. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. I titled this morning, The Great Commission. You know, of all the things that we could be doing right now, there's a lot of things we could be doing. We could go a lot of places, and there's a lot of things that we could, you know, we could go fishing, camping, we could go shopping, we could do all kinds of stuff. We could lay up in the bed late, whatever. But of all the things we could be doing right now, what you're doing is the greatest thing you could do. And that is to come and assemble in the house of God and to listen to the words of the Creator of the universe. We're not here this morning to talk about the agenda that the mayor of the city has and what he wants, the plans he has for this city and what he thinks. We're not here to talk about Donald Trump's agenda for America today.
Right.
Even though these are great people in leadership positions. That's not what we're here to talk about today. But we're going all the way up to the ladder, to the top. And it's the top authority in all the universe. And we're here today to talk about his plan and his agenda. And we're here to talk about what he wants. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's why I said this is the greatest thing that we could be doing. That's exactly it. And so, but what we do with what this time is before us, our attitude that we have toward these things and what we go out with, well, that's going to have a lot of impact on you as to what all happens with what you hear today and what goes forth. And so, you know, Brother Bram did say we cannot leave the same. We come in the church and we either go away closer to God or we go away further. So the only way you can go away closer to God is to receive the word that has come to you and embrace that and let it change your life, then you're closer. But if you reject it, obviously you're further. And if you just sit on the fence and do nothing, you're further.
Yeah.
That's something we always need to think about.
Right.
And so what we do with these things is has a whole lot to do with our future. And so I will preface what I'm going to talk about this morning, the Great Commission, say this. Brother Bram tells us that if the life of Beethoven was in us, what would we do? We would write music, I guess that's what he did. Or if we had the life of a great painter or a songwriter within us, we would write songs or we would paint.
Right?
Why? Because the life that's down on the inside would be showing itself on the outside, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we would do. And so if the life of Jesus Christ is in us, what will it do? Mm-hmm. It will always do what Jesus Christ does. And you realize Jesus is who he is. He is the Word. He cannot fail. He can't be anything different. He's just Jesus.
Yeah.
He's just the Word of God that came out of the mouth of God, the spoken word, the Logos. That's who he is. And so if that life of Christ is in us, then what's he going to do? He's going to live the life of Christ. That means that as he lives in us, we're going to go about doing the things that Jesus would do. And so this really has to do with what the Great Commission is that we will talk about here as we go a little further. It's the life of Jesus Christ. So this Great Commission, we read it there where he said, go into all the world and you teach them to observe the things that I've commanded you and so forth. And he says, go do this. And as you go do this, these signs shall follow them.
Right?
These signs will follow them that believe and that go out. In other words, not just you who believe, but those who receive you. These things are going to... So what you have to look at here is along with the commission comes the fruits of the commission.
Right?
If you believe. So he says, these signs are followed and believe. And we still to this day have the responsibility to carry out this commission. That is to take him to the world. That is to take and be witnesses to him, as it says there. Be witnesses to him into all the world. Not just Jerusalem. Not just Samaria, where it was half Jew, half Gentile. But to the whole entire world. We are to go out and be witnesses for him. And so we still have that responsibility. We might think, well, we're close to the end time and everything's pretty much done. And just a few moments, as it were, before the rapture. No big deal. We're pretty much done. We'll just take it easy. You know what Brother Ram said? If you stop work 15 minutes early, what happens? You're going to get docked on your pay.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
So, yeah, keep planting. Keep, you know, but keep testifying. Keep living that gospel. Keep taking that commission to the world. And so We still have that responsibility to do that, even to the last moment. If it's 10 minutes before body change, we should be trying to tell somebody. We should be trying to express Christ. And so we see here that the scripture says in this great commission, we would receive power. We read it there just in Acts, that we'd receive power. And so power to do what? Well, obviously to be an overcomer, we believe that.
Right.
To be an overcomer, but just what it said, to be a witness for him. You'll receive power. They asked him, they said, Lord, when are you going to do this? You know, you're the Messiah, you've conquered everything, so are you going to establish the kingdom? He said, no, I'm not. Not right now. This is not right now. You've got a commission to go do this, so I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost and the power that you need to go forth and be that witness. And so we still have a responsibility to be that witness, but not, here's the thing I want to get at is that not to be a witness of a historical Christ. See, you know, today I got up this morning and there's certain things that I'm going to be doing, getting ready for church and coming down here and turning the air on and all the things like that. I do this because that's who I am. But you know, tomorrow I probably won't be coming in here and turning the air on. Because it's Monday. We're not going to have service. Right? My point is that there's a life that I live one day, and then the next day I'm doing a little something different, but it's still the same life.
Right?
Jesus Christ has a certain expression for this hour, and it is not the historical Christ. That's not what it is.
Right.
Now, the rest of the world, that's all they have access to, is to take some historical, bygone something to the world. It's easy to look at something and say, well, this is what happened, so I'm going to go mimic it. Yeah. Right? But if it's not happened yet, and yet there's an ordained something to happen today, then people who aren't connected cannot go and find out what that is because they have nothing to look at. And if they don't have the life in them to live it, they're going to miss it. So it's the present day life is only available to those who are plugged in.
That's right.
Those who are plugged in and have this power of the Holy Ghost. And so he said he would give us that. I was thinking when he gave us this big commission to go forth, God would not be sending us, giving us a commission, but not giving us the ability to carry it out. Be like telling you to do something and not giving you the ability to do it.
Yeah.
Would God do that? No, God would not do that. So when he says go and do this, he's not leaving us without the ability to do it. He's providing the ability to do it, and the way he does that is by giving us the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, right.
By this. And so that's why he said, I'm going to send you and commiss you, and you're going to have power to do this because the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and that Holy Ghost is going to make you witnesses to me in all the earth. Right? Can you be a good witness without it? No. You cannot. You cannot be a good witness without it. So you receive power to be overcomers and to be a good witness. So now, we have a responsibility. Now, I say we have a responsibility to be a good witness or go out and take that commission out to the world, but we also have a responsibility to make sure that what we take to the world is Him,
right,
not ourselves.
Right.
It's not about us.
Right.
It's about Him. It's totally Him. So Brother Ben tells us, and this is 1963, after the seals, anybody wants to know, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Speaking about this, he said, and remember, he, God, he forbid the disciples to preach anymore or do anything until they went in the power of the Spirit. Wait ye in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. See, you're not to go out until it's not you, but God. The people can see the reflection of Jesus Christ in you. And then the people will believe then, because it won't be you, it'll be Him. And all that He foreknew, He'll call, and they'll see it. My sheep know My voice. So Brother Branham tells us here that, and you see that in the scriptures, Even though the disciples had walked with Jesus all that time, they'd seen all the miracles, they were associated with him and all those things, and were witness to him in his resurrection, they talked to him, saw him ascend on high, you would think, God, these guys are convinced. They know he is. They're equipped. They're going to go preach the gospel. But Jesus, even in that form of all their experience at that point, he said, no, don't go do nothing until you're endued with power on high. Yep. Until that Holy Spirit comes upon you, you don't do nothing. And so that shows you the importance of how important it is that if we're going to go carry out this commission, if we're going to be witnesses to people, no matter who it is, if it's on the job or in your home, and it doesn't matter, if you're going to be a good witness, the only way you can do that is if you are endued with power on high, so that you're taking him to the world, not yourself to the world.
Right.
That's the importance. And sometimes I think we forget that, because we are kind of a dual person in the fact that we have a person of ourselves, which got our own natures, but then Christ is to be in us, and we have to make sure that what we take is Christ, not us.
Right?
That's what we want to make sure we're doing, is taking Christ to the world and not us.
Amen.
And so we're not to go out and try to witness of ourselves and witness point to us. As I said, it has nothing to do with us. We're not even to go out and to give witness to our own ministry. Let's say we have a ministry that's successful. We're not even to go out there and say, hey, folks, you need to look at me. I'm like Brother Branham said, he saw that billboard and said, God's man for the hour. He differed with that, because Jesus Christ is God's man for the hour. It's Christ alone.
That's right.
Not us, not about somebody else, not other, some other purpose, but him. And we can't do it ourselves. We're wrong for trying to go out. And that's why when people go out and debate and all these things, God knows how to live his own life. He knows how to be himself and be that, but he wants to be that through us. And so we have that responsibility to go out and not witness even of our own selves or our own ministries. If I, could say and go to Mexico and try to tell the people, I'm gifted and God speaks through me and you need to come and listen to me. If I'm pointing to myself, even if I'm trying to do something for God, if I'm pointing to myself, it's wrong. Here's what Brother Graham said. He said, when I'm done and I leave this place, I don't care if they remember my name at all. I just want them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way it should be. So I know this is kind of smack right in the face of the women's rights movement and stuff like that today, but we're all Christians and we believe a end time message and we believe it should be the way God says it, but the wife's, her agenda, it should be what the husband's agenda is.
Right.
She should be about his business. Right? Right? So I know that's kind of swallow it right down. I know. Because we're living in this stage. But that's true. It's all natural typing spiritual. And the church's agenda should be Jesus Christ and him alone, because he's a redeemer. And sisters, your husband is your redeemer in the natural. He is the perfect will of God for you. Brother Bram, when he was there for the third pull and his wife had that tumor, Brother Branham wasn't saying, oh, my wife is so spiritual. She speaks in tongues. She prays all night. That's not what he said.
Right.
He said, she washes my clothes. She irons them. She never complains when I'm going out to the ministry. He was giving to God all the things that she was doing in the natural in service to him. And God liked that.
Right.
And Brother Bram said, you serve God by serving your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You serve God by serving your family.
Right?
There's your perfect place. You are the backbone when you serve God that way. You'll get more done like that in your perfect position than any other place.
Right?
And so that is we as the bride of Christ, that is our agenda. I don't care. It is not about getting up and doing something else. Our number one priority every day, it should be to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he can be pleased while I go look for a new vehicle, Brother Daniel will sell it to you if you need one. But if I can be pleasing to the Lord while I go do that, then I will. But if I can't, I won't.
Amen.
See, he comes first. not something else. And we know that. See, it is a message that's sweet in our mouth. Amen, brother, that's right. But it's bitter in our belly when it comes time to live it, because sometimes I kind of want to do something that maybe the Lord don't want me to do.
That's right.
Right? So, but we have to, this is the discipline of our lives right here. This is what it's all about. This is what commitment of marriage is to thick and thin. God in the good times, God in the bad times.
That's
right? To stay right in there, and I'm connected with him, and I'm telling you, if my husband says no, then it's no. But if he says yes, then it's yes. So we have that responsibility to make sure that we go forth in his name. So now Brother Bram tells us in a sermon called Sign of This Time. This is also in 1963 after the seals. Brother Bram says now, and he's praying, he says, now, we know that you only speak through human lips. You made man your agency. One day you were standing and you said, look upon a harvest and said, it's ripe. And said, pray to the Lord of the harvest, he'll send laborers into this harvest. And you were the Lord of the harvest. But you so connect your program, you and man together, you do nothing apart from that. And now I pray, God, that just if you would anoint me and do not anoint the audience to believe, it wouldn't do any good. We have to be together as one unit, as brothers and sisters, and I pray, God, that you'll anoint us together that we might see again this side of eternity the glorious Lord Jesus, a greater than Solomon here. And so Brother Branham is telling us there that God cannot. He's designed his program in such a way where he will not, cannot, break his own word, cannot reach the world unless he's using human lips. Unless he uses you and I. So I would say, Brother Daniel, if you wanted to say something, I challenge you to say it without using your body to do it. Would you be very effective? If your body was numb, just not numb, paralyzed, if your whole entire body was paralyzed, you were laying there, it made no difference how powerful of a spirit you had inside, if your body will not obey you, you're not going to be seen, your opinion is not going to be heard. So his program is so designed that God can't do, he will not do it, and he's perfect, so he's not going to go back on his own will, his own word. So, but that's how determined he is, and that's how much he knows what his program is that you will be his body, and you'll be his spokesman, and he'll use your lips to speak. So Brother Bram tells us that he will not. And it's not just when we pray, oh God, anoint the preacher. It's not just anointing the preacher, but it's anointing the congregation too. Because we as a unit have to all be anointed as speaker and hearers, and the whole reciprocation of God working in all of us. That's how that this great body gets done what he wants to get done. Because you're part of the body of Christ too, not just a minister behind standing behind the pulpit. So he can't do anything unless it's through us. In other words, he must use our bodies. So now we got this great commission, and we realize that in order to do this great commission, God has laid it out this way where it must be us that does it. And yet we can't do it unless we're empowered from on high. The spirit and life of God has to come into us to do it. And we make our mistakes when we try to go otherwise. So I said a little further, if the life of Christ is in you, what will it do? So God knows how to live his own life. Brother Bram says that God knows how to speak. God knows how to write. He stooped down and wrote in the dirt one day. God knows how to speak. He knows how to write. He knows how to be who he is. He knows how to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. He knows how to do all that. And he knows how to do that in you.
Yeah, right.
But you're the one that will limit him if you're not obedient to the spirit of the one who comes into you.
Yeah.
So today, this a whole lot of this is about being obedient to the Holy Spirit, because God wants to touch the world. He wants to raise the dead, cast out devils. He goes right hand in hand with the commission.
Yeah.
He wants you to be on the job what nobody else is.
Yeah.
He wants you to express the life of Jesus Christ, and that means that he wants you to take opportunities to those around you that they can't have any other way. Because he's sending you in his stead to be God in their presence. And when they have sickness and they have needs and they don't know where to turn, God wants you to be the answer, the God in you, for their needs.
Amen.
That's what he wants. Because this great commission is not to go to the world and take something to them they don't need. Mm-hmm. It's not to take to them another fun time in the flesh. The world will give them all the flesh they want. The world will give them all the entertainment they need,
yeah,
or that they want. The world can supply all that, but they can't supply the real need.
Right.
And that's what we're commissioned to do.
Yeah.
Is to take that life of Christ to them. And so that life would come in us. It knows how to raise the dead, cast out devils. It knows how to touch lives. We just have to be in tune with it. So, he knows how to live, and he will not, this life of Christ, will not feed on things of the world.
Right.
He won't need it. Christ don't need a cell phone. Christ doesn't need a Twitter account. Christ don't need a fancy pair of clothes.
Right.
Christ doesn't need the latest hairdo. He don't need all that stuff. That's a different realm. That's a different world we're talking about. Christ does not need that stuff. He knows how to live it. And when he comes in and lives in you, he's not going to be anointing us to chase after the new fads. If you know what the message tells you, the message tells us that if the world's doing something, we really ought to be doing something different. Don't go that way.
Right.
You know, we always talk about Brother Ram saying, well, is it okay to cut the little kid's hair, their bangs, you know? And everybody's like, oh, yeah, he said it was okay. Go a little further. Read the rest of the quote. Does anybody know what the rest of it is? He said, no, I don't think we would. Anything that would look like the Beatles, I don't think I would. That's what he said. So now he's sitting there first. He says, I have no scripture to say don't do it. But then he comes along afterwards and he realizes, wait a minute, this is what they're doing in the world. No, I would not do that. Well, he's not here telling you not to look like Britney Spears or somebody like that. But catch the spirit, the understanding of the kingdom of heaven behind that concept that we don't live after the things that the world lives after, because the world's not got Christ in them. They're expressing a different realm, but we are to have Christ in us and express Christ, and it'll be different. You cannot get anybody's attention by taking to them the same thing the rest of the world takes them. You can't get anybody's attention by taking to them everything the rest of the church world can give them. And what we found out in the quote there a little while ago is that the elect of God, those that are predestinated of God, they will hear it, but you got to give them the right thing. They have a hunger, but you got to speak to that hunger.
Yeah.
We're not all about a good time and shouting and all that and big, big programs and all that and bringing all the world in and all. That's not what we're trying to speak to. We're trying to speak to that God hunger down inside that's only found in a predestinated one. We say, oh, we're after the last seed. That's right. We're only after the seed of God because none of the rest of them can come. And I'm not going to be endorsing some program to speak to the masses because the masses aren't coming. We're only going to express the word. See? And that's what we want. And so Brother Ram tells us this. So the life of Christ will not feed on things of the world. He don't need it.
Right.
It's not his program. It's not his kingdom. And therefore, when he comes into us, he's not anointing us to do it either. Right? Christ will not feed on the things of the world. He will not become desensitized. He is who he is, and he's not going to change, and he's not going to become, he's different than the world, and he's not going to become desensitized where now he's okay with the world. He's not going to do it. Because that's death, and he's life. And the two can't mix. So he's not going to be desensitized. And, you know, at one time, oh, I'm against these things. And a few years later, oh, it's okay. How many people had in their experience that they stood strong for something early on as a Christian coming into the gospel message in this end time. And then a few years later, it's no biggie. I'll just let it go. Christ don't do that. He is Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. In him is no variableness or shadow of turning.
Right.
He's constant. The sun is constant shining. It's earth that's changing and moving.
Right.
And he wants us to be the same. He wants us to be constant and unchanging. That if somebody needs to come to you for prayer and the prayer of faith, that they can come to you anytime, any day, every day, and get the same consistency of the life of God expressing through you.
That's right.
That's what they want. That's what it is to be. We're to be like our Father. You see places in the Bible where you're like, wow, it's a wonder God didn't just speak and they just disappear. But he's disciplined. He's disciplined in his own self not to fly off the handle. It's like Brother Branham and the young couple sitting there kissing or whatever it was. And there he was. He had that opportunity. He could have said, Lord, let them disappear. And they would have. But he said, I forgive you. See? Because we understand there is a concept in scriptures of an angry prophet. But we don't want an angry prophet. We don't want to deal with that. We want grace. We want forgiveness. So he will not become desensitized to the world and just let it go. And he will not pretend. He will not pretend that everything's okay. And my point is that Christ will always be a rebuke to the world. He will always be a rebuke to your flesh. The thing that's in your flesh that makes you want to do the things that it wants to make you do, which matches what the world wants to do, that's always there because it's in your flesh. It's resident in the flesh. It cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And the nature of Christ will always be at enmity with that flesh. If he's there, if he's down inside us, there should be a conflict going on continually with our flesh.
Amen.
And we, as being influenced by him, we don't want to find ourselves in a situation where now we're compromising. Because that's not Christ compromising. That's you compromising. Where you stood strong at one time and now you've let down the bar. That's not him letting down the bar. That's you letting down the bar. You see what I'm saying? That's you doing that. That's the flesh having its way. And that's what we don't want to do. So he's not going to pretend. He's constantly going to be at conflict with the flesh. And if we allow those things of the world to have resonance in our life, and we're just feeding that black dog and letting those things, then he is the Holy Spirit. He'll just fly over here and land off over here. That's what he'll do. And then we're sure enough in trouble. But we know that as a believer, there's something down inside that is constantly crying out for what's right. So if we're doing these things, if we're compromising, if we're becoming desensitized, it's not him doing it. Who is it? It's us. It's in our fallen nature, our flesh. We have to fight every day in order to keep the flesh subdued. The scripture tells, I didn't give it to her, but you remember, it's pure religion before God the Father is this, to visit the widows and fatherless in their afflictions. And conjunction, not just because you got people want to go do good. Oh, I'll help the poor. I'll help, and we should. Really the poor. Not the ones lazy that won't work, but really the widows who have no way of being taken care of, unless the church does it.
Yeah.
or, you know, and the fatherless whose dads, you know, that's the ones to visit them in their affliction, to help them in their affliction. That's one thing. You know, there's a lot of people do that, but and keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's the other part. Pure religion before God. If you want to appear before Him, then you do these things. But the end, and this is a part the rest of the world don't do. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Does that mean keep yourself unspotted from a beautiful sunset? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the cosmos, the way of man, the way that Satan has moved society and all the things that's big for them and they like and they love and they endorse. It's all got ungodliness embedded into it.
Right?
Keep yourself unspotted from that. Now he tells you, I'm sending you out in the world to be a witness, but don't you be spotted by it.
Yeah.
Well, how's that going to happen? I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. That's how. So he's telling you, go out here and walk among all this dirty, filthy stuff, but don't get it on you.
Yeah.
Or if you do get it on you, clean, get it cleaned, right? So, because remember, it's a wedding garment. He provides it. How does he provide it? Well, he provides it by his word. He tells you how to dress, how to sing, and he provides you with the Holy Ghost and tells you you're responsible. You're responsible to make sure that you're unspotted from this world. I've given you the Holy Ghost, but now you've got to take that Holy Ghost and you've got to go out there and be witnesses and you've got to use that experience to keep yourself unspotted from this world. You cannot be desensitized. You cannot compromise. You've got to be Christ. And that means that there's continually going to be a rejection there, both in your flesh, in your children, in your wife, your husband, in their flesh. You understand what I'm saying? And in the world.
Yeah.
And yet we don't like that. We don't want conflict. I don't want conflict. I don't want anything to be. But the bottom line is that in order for us to be what we need to be, we have to be at conflict with the world to say no to those things. And yet God sends us to the world to be a witness. So he provides it to us. He tells us we've got to do something about it. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to go through this, be a little slow. We're moving right along good. I'm already on my second page and I only got two. So we're making good time, okay? But we might go a little slow on this.
Okay.
Romans chapter 1. Chapter 8, verse 1. You know, when I was looking that up, I got it backwards. I'm starting here looking for Romans chapter 8. And I'm looking at chapter 1. That's all I got when I was looking it up. So I'm trying to say it here. So maybe I need to go back to Romans 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is, therefore now, no condemnation which them are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Just hold it there because we're going to step through this. There is. This is true. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. How many would like to live with no condemnation?
Amen.
Amen. That's a great place to be.
Yes.
Right? But there, and the scripture said, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who, what? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that's not saying that in your flesh body you can't walk in a human body.
No.
That's not the flesh it's talking about. We are in flesh. But it's talking about the fallen nature in your flesh that matches what the world is doing.
Yeah.
The thing in you that wants you to have all the things that the world has, wants to be able to be accepted by the world.
Yeah.
See? So there is no condemnation to a real Christian who's not walking after those things, but is walking after the Spirit of God. That's capital S. Right? There's your place of no condemnation. But it falls back to this very thing we're talking about. The way to walk without condemnation is to say no to the things of the flesh. So there's a continual battle, a continual warfare there. We'll go on to the next verse, please. So he says that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ walking after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, look at that. If you're walking in Christ after the Spirit of Almighty God and not after the flesh, if that's what you're walking after, there's a law that takes place. And you know, a law enforces something. So there's a law that takes place, and it's the law of the Spirit of life, not death. Right? And that law will make you free from the law of sin and death. But if you're not walking after the Spirit, you're going after the flesh, though you call yourself a Christian, or maybe you are and you're just letting down the bar. When you start walking after this, now that law of sin and death kicks in. Why? Because you're acting out and you're doing these things that genders to that. We'll go a little further. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So go ahead and go to that, but I'm going to make some comments here. So, to live after the flesh speaks of a body of flesh that's acting out, and Christ hung on the cross and died in the flesh to pay for the sins of that act that is done in a fleshly nature. Right? So would God save you from all that and then tell you you can go right back out and do the same things again? This is what the world teaches. This is the thing that they will divide with us on, one of the things. Because they want to be Christians, but they don't want to have the true full life of Christ, which will straighten them out and make them believe and act the right things.
Right.
They don't want that. But we happen to be a people that God has blessed with the revelation to know that that Christ will live in us and be exactly what he said he would be. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the thing that God wanted to accomplish all along that the law could not do, it could only just push sins off for a little while. Now, in Christ, we have it, and that righteousness that he intended for it to come to all along that the law could not provide, but it was just a shadow, now we have it if we're walking after the flesh, after the Spirit, excuse me. Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's go to the next verse. For they, now watch this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. I tell you and ask you, the flesh side of you, does it ever get its fill? The flesh side of you, what's it constantly looking to? Right? So, they that are after the flesh, not just walking in the flesh body, but in the lust of the flesh, wanting the things of the fallen nature wants, then that's all they mind. So if you find something in you that's constantly longing after all the things the world has because you want to fit in and you want to be connected like they do and have all the things they do, that's not God. That is a flesh nature, a flesh life that's longing and minding the things of flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And now I'll say this to you, those who have that experience of Christ in your heart, what's he constantly thinking on? The Spirit of God is constantly longing after the things of God. So both of those are resident in us. It's white dog, black dog. Let's go to the next one. For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, right? Flesh. Carnally, right? To be carnally minded is death. Are we as Christians, should we be constantly going around thinking about fleshly nature? Longing after fleshly nature? That's death. That's the very thing that brought us into this world dead to begin with.
Right.
See? So we don't want to be minding after carnal things because that's death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Amen.
I love to be in peace.
Amen.
I don't want to be in conflict with myself or with my God or with fellow man, but you know what? I have to say no to the things of the world.
Right.
If I'm at work and somebody tells a filthy joke, I cannot partake of that.
Right. Yeah.
And neither should you. right? Or all, you name it, see?
Right.
Let's go to the next verse. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. That nature can't even tally up with God.
Yep.
Right? Now you see what the church world has done? They've perverted the gospel so that now they're walking in a carnal mind of enmity with God. Bobbed hair and you name it. And as much as I like what our president's doing, that religious system is what he's connected with. Got bobbed hair women praying over his campaigns and stuff. Because you see what group that is. See? But they've taken this gospel and perverted it such that they're living in a carnal-minded life, calling it the Spirit, and may even have spiritual gifts, because we know that that actually can happen, false and anointed ones at the end time. But they've hijacked the gospel, and they're living in that kind of thing and not realizing it's actually enmity with God, and yet God pours out his Spirit on the just and the unjust. He pours out his rain on a whole bunch.
Right.
And so they think because they're in blessings that everything's fine, and yet they're walking in enmity with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not even, can't even be subject to it. It just can't even tally up to the things of God. This next verse, please. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot. For chasing after fleshly things, we cannot please God because we're endorsing and promoting a kingdom that's death and is passing away.
Yeah.
We've got to be chasing after the things of life. Next verse, please. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. There's the conjunction, if. If that Spirit dwells in you. So if we have the Holy Ghost and he's living within us, then he defines right here what the difference is to be in the Spirit or in the flesh. Right?
Right.
So if we're in the Holy Ghost living and moving, that's a life of the Spirit of God, that's not flesh. But if we're out of that and minding the things of the flesh, now we're in the flesh, which is sin and death. So, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Whoa. Put the brakes on. The world don't like to hear this. But this is how a person knows whether or not you're heaven bound or not. This is how you know whether you're his or not. You cannot be the body of Christ if Christ is not in you. Right? Because Christ is in his body. So if any man has not the Spirit of Christ in him, he's not part of that body of Christ. See? That's the next verse. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. A believer knows that he should not be catering to flesh. He knows that's death, and it's dead to him, and he's alive in Christ, seeking after those things, and to him, that's dead. Right? Unless he's backslidden or compromising somewhere. But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's how he does it. This is why it's so important when Jesus said, yeah, I'm going to send you out here to be a witness for me. And no, I'm not setting the kingdom up right now, but I'm not going to leave you hanging over a barrel. I'm going to give you the power to do this.
Yeah.
And it's all called the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of Christ coming in you and living in you. It will quicken you too. Therefore, brethren, he said all this. He defined all this, okay? Here's what it means to be in the Spirit. Here's what it means to be in the flesh. One is life and the other is death. And he's explained all that. He said, wherefore? Because of all this, we're not debtors to the flesh. Right? Wherefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We have no business trying to cater to that fleshly nature. We have one responsibility, and that is to crucify that thing. Keep it dead every day. We're not debtors, or we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall what? Die. This is why it's so important to truly get the real experience of God that he wants you to have.
Amen.
Amen. But if you through the Spirit, if you through the capital S-P-I-R-I-T, capital S, that means Holy Spirit. So if you through the Holy Spirit, if you have that in you, you take that Holy Spirit and you mortify the deeds of the flesh, of the deeds of the body, you shall live. So here's what he's telling us. You get that experience of that power that's to come upon you. And the first thing you need to do is turn that power towards your own flesh, your own cravings, your own desires that's fallen in your flesh. Turn it to that and mortify it. You know what mortify is? Everybody knows what mortar is? You mix it all up and let it set for a little bit and turns into concrete.
Right.
It means it don't move no more. It's solid. It's not living. So you mortify, you stop those actions of the flesh. This desire for the world and the things of the world and to rub shoulders with the world and be accepted by the world. Crucify that thing. And the only way you can do it is by the Spirit. Crucify. And so, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. He defines it pretty clear right there. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. What did I put on there? Just did I stop it for? Okay, well, let's keep going in. That's what I have here too. Yes. So now he's given you a spirit to overcome. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again. Because he tells you what that other one is then. The other one is bondage. The other one was the law was what gendered to that, and there was no liberty in the law. That's bondage. He's not giving you this. This is where you got to catch what's going on. This baptism, this experience he's talking about is not bondage. It's freedom. It's life. And so we have not received the bondage, the spirit of bondage again to fear. This is not what he's bringing us to. But we have received the spirit of adoption, and that means that that makes us children of God, sons of God. Spirit of adoption, and that spirit, once it cries in you, back to what we were saying last week, it cries, Abba, Father. It knows who its father is. It knows the nature, knows what's expected. It's in tutorship to that father. He's coming forth in the strength, growing each day by day. Because that's the spirit you have, and that's not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world cannot please God, is not being tutored by God, is not headed to rulership. So there is a dual thing there, and we've got to catch that life of God that follows the word and crucify the rest. Amen? So you have received that spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. I told you a while ago, we have our own life, and then we have the Holy Spirit. And so it bears witness itself that we are the children of God. And if children, if we truly have this Spirit in us crying, Abba, Father, if you got something in you that's saying, crucify that flesh, I don't care whether you're really good at it or not. If you know you've got something down inside you that seeks after God and is saying no to the world and you just need to tally up with it more, right? If you can see that that's in there, then you know that's telling you that you're a child of God and you pack within you something that's joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So remember I said a while ago, you got to have that in you. And if you have it, then you can go do what Christ did. You're joint heirs with him so he can heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. So can you, because you're joint heirs with him.
Yeah.
And that's how you become an effective witness for him. It's to pack him to the world. Mm-hmm. Not some theological idea, not what the world says, but what's the living Christ of this day, which happens to be the opening seven seal message in the bride. And that's what we're to take. So if children, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So there you have it. If that spirit of Christ is in you, you're going to suffer. And it's required. You're joint heirs with him if you suffer. Because if he's in you and you're not suffering, he's on his way flying out to the limb because you're compromising. See? We have to stay true with him and not be compromised. So if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon, now Paul's telling us, I know this is a mouthful, this is what we're trying to tell you, and it sounds terrible, but listen, all of this can't even be compared to what's coming. That's what he's telling you. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. What is that glory that shall be revealed in us? Well, let's go a little further. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The entire universe is waiting on you and I to have our body change. The whole creature itself, creation groaneth, waiting for that. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So this universe is going to be liberated too, right? But it's waiting on us. Here's the thing. If God has told us you get to inherit this earth, you're going to run, you know, and it belongs to us, but yet we're in bondage, then it knows where it's in bondage too. But when we're liberated, it's liberated. Because it belongs to us. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Creation is groaning. Did you know the scripture said that the waves foaming out shame? This earth knows that it ain't right. It don't want sin. It doesn't want sin. Nature itself doesn't want sin. And so creation itself groaneth. Well, if creation groaneth, what about you? Shouldn't you have something in you that groans for this to come? And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit. What is the adoption? The redemption of our body. See? And so, I think that was the last one, right? So, there should be something in us that's groaning. Something in us is longing for this thing to happen and groaning. And if that's truly there, there's no way you can be groaning for the things of God and wanting a body change and something the whole creation that's fallen is putting its confidence in you coming forth. There's no way that you can be groaning for all that and be chasing after the world and flesh things of the world at the same time.
Right.
It don't work. We need to make sure we're not deceiving ourselves with our walk. And say, well, I'm in the message. I'm okay. Because being in the message doesn't change what we just said right there, what the scripture shows. And so we know that all scriptures are true and they're good for instruction. And so there has to be something in us groaning. Okay, so maybe not. Maybe we can't fully manifest things right now. I can't manifest a body change right now, but it's coming. And something in me groaning for it, longing for it. And by the way, the life that is in you goes and leans toward where it's headed. Your flesh is leaning toward the grave because that's where it come from and it's going back to that. And that's why every age, every day you change a day, you're just pulling a little bit more because that flesh is heading that way. But there's something inside us that's longing for God, that's headed back to God. That's the thing. It minds the things of the Spirit because that's where it's headed. But if you're mindful of these things, that's where you're headed. See? So, we have to be longing. And so maybe we cannot produce everything just yet, but the thing forming in us will bring that. It's that longing, it's that life within us that someday is going to form a body around us. Because that's the body that's being formed in us. You understand what I'm saying? In spirit, That's what's happening. Brother Bram said, in things that are to be, he talks about this mother, and she's going to have a baby, and she craves watermelon, she craves all these things, because in her body that baby's being formed, and there's mechanisms that trigger to say, give the watermelon, give the pickles and ice cream, and do all these things, because there's nutrients in that that needs to go to that body, so that that body, when it's born, will be healthy. And Brother Bram says, why do we have these meetings? Why do I keep crying out against sin? Why do we do this? It's because in the spirit realm, there's a calling for things that's needed, so that when it comes time for that body change, we'll be able to step into a complete, full body that's not got something missing or anything. Well, if you never long after, and you never chase after, and you never grown for those things now, how can you have it then? So there's got to be something. They're constantly longing for God, constantly groaning for God, seeking after, that's at enmity with the world and at enmity with this, that needs to point to this and say, no. Right? Yeah. That has to be that way. And so it may sound funny, but we're kind of like an elephant that doesn't have a trunk. The life of an elephant, he wants to go, but he has no trunk.
Yeah.
He has no flesh to do it with. And inside him, he still has something and wants to go,
right?
But he can't. Okay?
Right.
So the Spirit of Christ is in us. He wants to do these things, so let's do them.
Amen.
Let's let that Spirit influence us. Let's let that Spirit cause us to groan daily and cause us to be an enmity of the world and say no to the world, so that this that's in us can be developed into the fullness, and sooner or later we'll get that trunk that we can go with.
Yeah. Right.
So we can be Christ. But it's the forming, what takes place in the secret of our heart, that has to do with what we're going to have out in the open.
That's right.
That comes first, what's within, inside. Brother Bram said there has to be birth pains. He said, in order for anything new to come, the old has to die in order for the new to come.
Yeah.
And he says, there has to be birth pains for something to be delivered. Has to be. Said this earth is fixing to bring forth. So we had birth pains. First, World War I, World War II, going to be another one, and this time it's going to bring forth. But the same way in our own experience, there's something about us, you know, when we first come to the Lord, we're sinners, and we realized that we needed to repent, and there was a dying that we had to do, and it's not necessarily easy, but you got to come to God with sincerity and just lay your heart before the altar and say, God, forgive me. And you just got to lay it out there and die. And it's hard to die, but you got to die. Because if you don't die, you can't come up. And I know what I'm talking about. To come and just lay it before God with the weight of the world on your shoulders because of what you've done. And just in a moment of sincerity, truth, 100% heart delivered sincerity before God, lay it right there and rise up and walk away with no weight on your shoulder but nothing but peace of God.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right?
That's what he has for you. If you're walking what you say to be life of Christianity and you haven't come to know that, you don't know Christ yet.
Right.
Because he has the power to deliver and set free and give you the peace that passes all understanding. So don't walk deceiving yourself. If you're just kind of going through the motions and you know that you truly haven't reached that, you need to ask him for it. He's got it for you.
Amen.
He'll give it to you. And so, that's what we want. He said there has to be a death. And so if for anything to come forth in life, there's got to be a death. And that's the way it is right now. Maybe you have had experiences, but you've gone back in your walk with God. You've let things slip in. You've compromised. You begin to let things go. And that life in you is telling you, don't do this. And yet you've silenced it almost. And it's become very weak. And it's still there. And it's still telling you, don't compromise. But it just doesn't have the strength to influence you like it used to because of what you've done. Then it's time for a death.
Yeah.
It's time for you to crucify that thing and take it to the altar and nail it there on the altar and say, there it is, God. And the same sincerity that gave you that experience to begin with will give it to you now if that's what you need. If that's where you're at. But we have to be serious with it. children of Israel come out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them. And after a while, they begin to call back. They begin to go, oh, I wish we had what we had back there. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? But the Holy Ghost don't need what was back there. Amen? So there has to be a death. We've got to crucify. Why? Because Christ cannot endorse the fall. Christ, if he's hearing you, there's no way that he can give you permission to go and live the same way that made you a sinner in the first place. And yet you've got that nature in you, so the only answer is for the Spirit to mortify that which is in you so that you don't go live that same life. And by the way, your apparel to be unspotted, that's what's on the outward. That's what people see. So Christ wants to provide the right imagery, life expressed to others, and he and others can see that is correct. And so Christ cannot endorse the fall. So it must be a clothesline religion because God, Christ cannot endorse nakedness. Right? It's like, oh, legalism, legal. No, we're just talking about Christ. We're talking about him coming in, having full power in our lives to change us so that the way we walk going forward is not what it used to be. Yeah. That's not legalism. It's life.
Right.
It's the difference between life and death. It's life. And so it has to be a clothesline religion. Mm-hmm. It has to be a strict marriage and divorce policy. Because Christ cannot endorse adultery.
Right.
He can't endorse the fall. He can't endorse false doctrine.
Yep.
He can't endorse three gods. Because it's not three gods. He can't endorse something that's not right. So if he's in you and he's alive and well and you're listening to him, then that life in you is going to make you say, it's not three gods, it's one. You can't be going around being married and divorced several times. You see what I'm saying? Because that's the expression of God in this hour that has brought all this to us. That's the whole expression. We got to stand and be him. And sure, we're going to be an image in the world. But you know what? He's called us to do that. Because he's called us to be his body and not be compromising. So it has to be that way. He's not going to compromise and has to be all those things because it's Christ. Now don't get that mixed up with the fact that he can come along and forgive somebody that's got a life like that.
Right.
But you remember, he said, now go and sin no more.
Right.
Right? And their lives were changed. They went away and had a different testimony. If you feel like that you've received something that you're calling Christ, but it hasn't cleaned up your language, it hasn't cleaned up what you watch and what you say and what you do. If it hasn't changed you, if you've not had a change more than just coming to church,
right,
more than just paying tithes, I mean a change,
right,
a change of nature and change of desire within your flesh, within your heart. I'm going to say your flesh, but within your heart. If you haven't had that, then I would question it. Why do I say that? Because I want to be harsh? No, because by experience I know there's a reality of Christ and he cleans you up.
Right.
Amen? I hate to say it, but I used to be like a sailor. And Christ cleaned me up.
Right.
And you know what? You know how long it took? First day. First day. Massive change. He changed what was in my heart like that, and the only thing left was what was embedded in my flesh of habits that I had to overcome, and it took a couple of days, but I'm serious. It will change you. It's a religion that will change you. Change your apparel. And so, if we're truly this the life of Christ, then we're going to be at enmity with the world. And we need to quit looking to the world to give us comfort, to give us peace, to give us, oh, I feel terrible today, you know, I'll turn to the things the world turns to give me satisfaction. Brother Brim said, Christ is my satisfaction. And it's okay if you can go out and look at a sunset or go out and be in the woods or go do something that's not sinful and not worldly, that's fine. But even that can't be your comfort and peace. That cannot... In other words, what I'm saying is that cannot take the place of him. This thing is designed in such a way that He is your overcoming power. He is your satisfaction. He is your comfort. He is your guide. And we cannot be going somewhere else for these things that only is found to be found in Him. We cannot do that. And so we quit looking to the world to give us satisfaction and to keep us occupied and so forth. Because while we're doing that, Christ is being rejected. Because our purpose is to be Him, not to feed our flesh. And don't ever underestimate the power of flesh and how far it can take you away from God if you give in to it. Because it'll do it. It'll flat do it. I've lived long enough to see it happen in people. And so, yeah, you're going to be at enmity with Christ, but this is required. So if we go to Hebrews 13, we'll read that again. This is what's required. We have to be at enmity with the world and with our own flesh. So Paul, here we read, he's talking about the sacrifice in the Old Testament, how that the bodies of those beasts that they sacrificed them said their bodies are burned without the camp, right? Go to the next verse. Wherefore, now that was natural, they were out burnt without the camp. Wherefore, Christ could not suffer inside Jerusalem. Why? Because they didn't. It was a type of a natural type spiritual. Christ also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Now, I want to show you something. Here's Jerusalem with their walled city, their big denomination, or their big system where everybody inside the wall, they all live together and they're happy with one another. They believe the same thing and they have commerce and they rub shoulders together and they have parties together. And it's all one big program. And Christ had to be crucified out there because he's not accepted in here. Right? Christ had to be put out there because he was rejected. Right? And in order for him to sanctify the people, he had to do that. He had to be rejected and taken outside the city, or there wouldn't be no sanctification going on. Right? Now, but look what it says. Let us go therefore, unto him inside the camp. Inside where everybody accepts him, where all the religious systems all agree, or outside where he's at, where he's rejected. Let us go out there to him, bearing that reproach. Because that's the only way there is. The only way to rule and reign with him is to suffer with him. The only way to be is to be on outside of the camp of the world. Rejected, despised. But you're out here with him, having fellowship with him. That's the difference. And so I'll finish by reading one more scripture. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 24, verse 14 through 16. And this is Paul. And this is what we should do. Because Christ was a reproach to those in the city. Here's what Paul said. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all the things that are written in the law and the prophets. Look what he's saying here. All the Pharisees and all the Sadducees that were out to get him, to kill him, crucify him, because he was standing for Christ Jesus. He said, the way that I'm worshiping God, believing everything that's in those scriptures, all along the prophets, I'm endeavoring to live by that, and because I'm living according to all that, they call it heresy. So Paul, too, was on the outside of the gate, outside of the city, and saying, everybody in there, they're calling that heresy. That's law. That's flesh. That's not spirit. That's death. But we're out here rejected by the world, living with Christ, right? And they call this heresy. Right? That's what he said. But I'm just believing all the law and the prophets. And even they have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow that there should be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. They, in those religious systems and in the world, they're all religious. They don't deny that, oh, we're all going to heaven. There's a great reward coming to us. They all agree to that. But Paul says, herein I do exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Mm-hmm. To walk in such a way that you know you don't grieve the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And of course, toward man, because you're to live right toward man, but that don't mean compromise. Right? That means live an upstanding life so that you have a good testimony to those that are without the church, outside of the church also, that they have to manufacture false statements against you if they want to condemn you. That's how you live. That's how Jesus did it. They had to have false, see? And that's the way we want to live. We want to live in such a way that we are void of offenses toward the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is what it takes. If we really want to take Him to the world, this is what it takes. A crucifying of our old man every day. Recircumcision, if you want to say it that way. Amen. I believe that. And so I'll end service with that. Let the musicians come up. Let's just pray for a moment. You pray to the Lord yourself. Just takes a moment. Just takes a moment of sincerity before God to fix things that are broken. Amen. Let's just talk to Him for a moment. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as I have shared this morning, I guess, Lord, this being a sermon of correction, this is the house of God. This is the house of correction, Lord. And Lord, I see, look out and I see fruits that I don't think belong to the gospel. Lord, I realize that I can see that there are things, Lord, sometimes that I know that's displeasing to you. And Lord, I want the life of the Holy Spirit in each of your people, all of our young people, all everybody of every age. Because I know if your life truly is there, Lord, it will speak to their hearts. And I'm asking God right now that you would just allow extra measure of grace to come on each one of us into every heart right now. Lord, allow us to be honest with ourselves. Allow us, Lord, to recognize where we're in need and lay that before the altar now. And ask God through sincerity that you would take us from this day forward and make us stronger, better Christians. Lord, that if there's something we've not done, we should do, that you would give us the grace to do it, that you would put upon us a spirit, Lord, of sincerity, that we will not be able to rest until it's done. Lord, that you would help us to act out everything the Holy Spirit would have us to act out. We're asking, God, that you would help each one. Lord, that you would commit to each one a great walk of victory from this day forward. Lord, touch their hearts. And if they're praying and asking for help in these matters, Lord, that you would answer each one. Grant it, Lord. We see you in this word. We see you in the message. We see you in the songs this morning that is Christ alone. It's got to be you. And I'm asking, Lord, that that would be exactly the case. Grant it, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen. And let's worship the Lord. You want to stand?
Surrender all, Jesus, I
desire of the heart of the Christian is that the Lord be the king of your heart. Amen. So, you know, it's by his word he sent and healed. You might have physical healing, spiritual healing, mental healing, but by his word, while the word has pushed everything away, because, you know, word, it pushes away evil thoughts, wrong thinking. While you're in the presence of the word that's clarifying and making it clear to you, it's those are the times you need to make that commitment to God.
Yes.
And say, Lord, this is where, let me hook my faith right here, and this is going to be my tie post right here. That from this day forward, I'm asking God, you help me and do what you said do. You've laid out that my success to be a Christian will be in your Holy Spirit leading me and guiding me. So I'm surrendering to you now, Lord, in a way like I've never done before. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes.
Amen. And so God bless you. Let's remember service next weekend at 6 o'clock. Brother Ben was on his way over here the other night. He's 5 hours down the road. Headed this way thinking he was supposed to be here this weekend and made a mistake. And so he and his family just went ahead and stayed in Memphis and having a little time together. It was a time weekend off. That was good. He wanted to do that. And so we started to try and have service, but he tonight or last night and this morning, and he said, no, let's just go ahead and keep it. So anyway, just be in prayer for that, those services. And Brother Ben is going to be staying over Sunday to Sunday night. He'll stay and then go home on Monday. So I told him that we'd probably like to come back here and at least have some singing and some worship sometime Sunday afternoon. We'll just figure out what time that needs to be. And he's like, yes, sounds great. So get your good music ears on, and we'll just come back. And after the Lord has ministered the word to us Saturday night, Sunday morning, and everything he's done that we need has been done, and then we'll come back with a clean heart and worship the Lord and enjoy that time together. You can't rub shoulders with the world, but you sure can rub shoulders with brothers and sisters. And that's the blessing. Amen. So God bless you. We'll just sing again, and you're dismissed in the name of the Lord.